Hello and welcome back to the Extended Philosophy Podcast. I'm Andy, philosophy lecturer, and this is a series of episodes where we try to live the classic theories of happiness over the course of many months. We will discuss how they work and how to apply them to our own everyday lives. I will keep these episodes short so that you can listen to them during a lunchtime break. This is why they are called Lunchtime Thoughts. Feel free to go back if you missed any episodes or if you need a refresher about what happened last week. And now, let's jump in. Last we talked about Aristotle's philosophy of life and how to stay young. Today, we will talk about being selfish, but in a rational way. So welcome to another installment of our exploration of Aristotle's philosophy of happiness. Last time, we talked about the importance of staying young in our own mind and alert to the changes that happen in the world all around us. Today, we will talk a bit more about how to apply Aristotle's ideas to the often selfish world of work and careers. Aristotle believes that being good benefits oneself as well as others. In fact, these two are interconnected and cannot be separated from each other. The state of being truly happy he calls eudaimonia. This means literally to be in good spirits or to be guided by a good spirit. And this state comes about when everything is going well for us. But things won't go consistently well by accident. What makes them go well is the result of our own virtuous behavior. Think about it. If I'm consistently good to others, using every opportunity to benefit them, won't they also be inclined to be good to me? I will be known as a good, helpful person, and everyone around me will want to be in my company, be my friend, and return the favor whenever an opportunity arises. Will I be successful at my job? For Aristotle, being wise involves knowing precisely how to apply my virtues to real-world situations so that I can always achieve the best results, those that generate the greatest benefits. Now, just imagine an employee who always knows exactly how honest they need to be in order to benefit the company most. They know how much risk to take, how much courage to display, how much compassion and kindness to employ in their daily work without ever appearing foolish, reckless, heartless, or too easy to take advantage of. Will this be a successful employee? Of course, Aristotle says. Everyone would want to employ someone like that. These qualities will make sure that this person will rise in the company to take on the most delicate, most responsible jobs, since others can rely on them doing these jobs right and to the greatest benefit of both the company and the general public. What this boils down to is the insight that egoism, done right, coincides with the best form of rational altruism. Benefiting others in the right way for Aristotle means that we will also benefit ourselves. And being rational about benefiting ourselves will make us realize that we can only achieve the best life available to us by also helping those around us. We can see this truth at work on every level. From the planetary issues of global warming and pollution, where everyone needs to work together in order to create a sustainable world that will in turn benefit everyone in particular, to the level of countries and international relations, where one country amassing a resource cannot benefit this country if there are no other suitably wealthy countries to trade this resource with. And on to the personal level, where one cannot be a happy family member of an unhappy family. In all these cases, and in countless others, our individual well-being depends entirely on the well-being of those who surround us and who interact with us. Companies also have something like eudaimonia, the possibility of flourishing as the kind of company they are. A company like SpaceX flourishes when it sends up lots of rockets, when it can transport satellites and make a lot of money doing so, when its rockets are known to be safe, efficient and cheap. Observe how these criteria clearly depend on the benefit of others. Safe, efficient and cheap rockets are not a self-contained goal that SpaceX can pursue without regard to others. Instead, these goals are precisely what would benefit everyone who has any stake in the operations of SpaceX. The public, the taxpayers, the residents around the launch site, the companies that need to transport stuff into orbit. In order for SpaceX or any company to flourish, and as a result of its flourishing, the whole technical and business ecosystem of which this company is a part will also have to flourish. And this is true of every human endeavor. One professor cannot be the best possible professor in a rotten university without working lecture halls, without a good library and with lazy students. One cook cannot flourish as a cook in a bad restaurant with bad suppliers, cheap ingredients and customers who don't care about the food. And a citizen cannot be a model citizen in a country that is ruthlessly ruled by corrupt dictatorship. Like always, let us now turn our view towards our own world, our daily environment, and the people and institutions inside it. First, look at your own virtues. Do you always employ them so that you benefit yourself as well as others, realizing that your benefit is intimately connected to that of those who surround you? We are often tempted to be selfish, looking for the short-term advantage that will set us apart from some competitor. But almost always, such small advantages will turn out to be meaningless in the long run. While a good relationship to those we work with can pay dividends over many years and truly change our lives. As a company, we should ask, are we doing what is necessary in order to be the best, most flourishing company of our kind? Aristotle wouldn't have much patience with companies that are only operating half-heartedly, cheating their way through life, deceiving customers, and promising more than they deliver. Such companies not only harm others, they also, in the long run, harm themselves. First, by losing the trust of their customers and business partners, and then also by promoting a work ethic that will eventually turn against them. Their employees will lack any true enthusiasm as soon as they realize what kind of company they're working for. The company will fail to attract real talent and will instead attract only the lazy who want to get by with a minimum of effort. And in the end, this company will also be on the receiving end of some other company's product, which will likely be of a similar quality to their own, since their behavior will have contributed to lower quality standards for everyone in that business. So the question we need to ask is, how can I flourish in this working world as the kind of worker or specialist that I am? How can I employ my knowledge, my skills, and my very personal virtues in the best way possible in order to achieve the maximum benefit both for myself and for those who depend on my work? And how can I help make my company better, more virtuous, more engaged, more successful and beneficial to the wider society in which it operates? Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed that, you can find much more on daily-philosophy.com. There is also a Substack newsletter, a free weekly newsletter, and a YouTube channel. Feel free to visit us and look around if you're interested in philosophy. Thank you and goodbye.